SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Early Line Live right here on Sports Grid. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wrightside here on a Wednesday morning. Donnie, how are we feeling?
Doing good. Feeling much better in the city of Philadelphia. Let's forget about those Philadelphia Phillies taking a loss last night to the Braves, and let's focus much, much more on the health. Or is he not healthy, but he looks like the MVP, Joel Embiid? That knee, I need that doctor that diagnosed that knee for me, Kevin, because that's what I need in my life. Hey, he's injured? No, he's not. Give me 40 points each and every night here, Kevin. I mean, what a night in Philadelphia.
Yeah, unbelievable. Let's get right to it. Our 7-7 top headlines. We lead things off with the Sixers' 118-102 victory, fueled by Joel Embiid's 40-point performance, 13 rebounds to boot, couple of steals, couple of assists, a block in there. Shake Milton was a megastar off of the bench. A wild game that Atlanta all of a sudden grabbed a, you know, mid-third quarter lead in. That apparently upset the Sixers greatly. They proceeded to dominate the Hawks here in the closing minutes of the third quarter and the fourth quarter all together and win this game big time, Donnie.
We asked the question yesterday, is Joel Embiid going to play more minutes than he did in game one? He didn't, so usually that would be like, oh boy, they needed a lot more points out of Joel Embiid. Drops 40 in this game in less minutes, ultra efficient, looked fantastic. Doing a little dust up in the middle of the game to get the juices flowing, but you are correct. When the Atlanta Hawks took the one-point lead, the fans sat back in their seats, almost like a here-we-go moment, but then Shake Milton happened. We'll remember this for a long time, Kevin, in a few years. Hey, Kev. Remember the Shake Milton game in Philadelphia? Legendary.
It was. He hit the buzzer beater three, like a 40-footer to end the half. And everything was right with the world after that. It was phenomenal. How about also in the NBA last night, the Jazz had Donovan Mitchell lead their comeback against the Clippers in their home building, winning that game 112-109. The odds maker special, basically bang on both the spread and the total. Donovan Mitchell's 45 performance, enough there to help Utah take a 1-0 series lead.
Great performance here. When you look at the Clippers, we didn't know what we would get out of them, Kevin, coming off a seven-game series and maybe being a little bit tired. Came out very well in the first half, but all of a sudden ran out of gas in the second half. And by the way, is it just this easy for Utah? Plug and play Spider Mitchell and you just get a victory? Is this really the case all the way through, Kevin? An amazing performance. 45 points. Ooh, man, watch out for Utah in elevation.
Yeah, you saw Donovan Mitchell last night. He was the best player on the floor, especially in the second half. The way that that team was able to, you know, bounce back after missing 21 consecutive shots in the first quarter. Also, the short turnaround, though, maybe was in play there as well for the Clippers, unable to close things out with a double-digit halftime lead. We'll talk more about it certainly here in our number one. One more piece of NBA news in our top headlines here. Nikola Jokic wins MVP, averaging 26.5 points per game, along with 11 rebounds and 8 assists. Was the favorite kind of near the midway point once basically all the other contenders started to get injured, and is the rightful winner in my estimation here, Donnie, for this award.
Yep, well-deserved award as well. Like, you can be a great basketball player, but you got to be there each and every night for your team if you want to win MVP. You can't miss 20 to 25 games, even though we see how potent Joel Embiid is and how important he is to the Philadelphia 76ers when he's healthy. A well-earned award here for Nikola Jokic. We'll see if that award spurs them to a victory in their series right now. Hey, down 0-1. And also, Kevin, how about that celebration for Jokic? Everybody really excited in that conference room for him last night.
Yeah, nobody on the Nuggets either likes Jokic or cares about the MVP award. It was, we said Michael Porter Jr. was livid. He didn't end up with the award. Let's welcome the radio audience into the fold here. Thanks to all those listening to the early line on Sports Grid Radio. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside going through our 7-7 top headlines. Switching things over to the ice last night, where the Vegas Golden Knights get an overtime winner to now take a 3-2 series lead after starting the series, Donnie, in an 0-2 hole.
How about starting the series in an 0-2 hole, fighting back? And how about being in Game 5 in an 0-2 hole on the road, fighting back and forcing overtime and picking up a victory? A team that looked like they were dead and buried, now all of a sudden alive and should be one of the favorites now to win the Cup if they do knock off the Avalanche. Exciting times out there in Vegas. And I have to say, going back to Las Vegas in a Game 6 clinching, that should be a party atmosphere out there. Good on the Vegas Golden Knights. And also, good on an odds boost I placed just a few moments, actually say about a week ago, beginning of the series, plus 200. Didn't look so good, Kevin, after an 0-2 series deficit. Now looking on the up and up as the Vegas Golden Knights are a favorite to win the series now.
You love to see the odds boost doing its job.
It.
Over Major League Baseball, the Brewers win their fifth in a row, stopping a hot Reds team that had actually won four consecutive coming into that game with a 5-1 final, sitting atop that NL Central, Donnie.
And it looks like the only person that anybody would know on that team is Christian Yelich. You have really good frontline pitching, but most people have never heard the name. Some great bullpen action, some timely hitting. The Brewers are a team to watch there in the Central throughout the rest of the summer. Go Brewers!
You love to see that. Over in the college football world, Donnie, a report is coming within the week to meet about the expansion potentially of the college football playoff.
College football playoff expanded. Take it up to 32 teams. The more the merrier when it matters. That's what we need, Kevin. Absolutely.
We will expand on that idea, certainly, in our Hot or Not. Final headline here. Julio Jones going to move on from the number 11. Going to allow A.J. Brown to hold on to that thing. And he's going to don the number 2 in his new hometown with the Tennessee Titans. Those are our 7-7 top headlines. We take a break. We come right back. It's time for Hot or Not.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Donnie Wrightside back right here on Sports Grid with some early line action. Time for Hot or Not. And this first one is a doozy. When you consider that we just saw Nikola Jokic win the MVP, Joel Embiid finishing second in MVP voting. Joel Embiid off of a phenomenal 40-point performance in that Game 2 victory over the Atlanta Hawks. So we go for the ultimate spice here, Donnie. Joel Embiid is the best big man in the NBA on the heels of Jokic winning the MVP, hot or not?
Such a great question, but being a Philadelphia 76ers fan, I am a little jaded to our side here, as I like to say, with Embiid. But I honestly have to say right now, not. And the reason being behind that, we just saw the best big man in basketball last night, who what I think Joel Embiid would be. But you still have to counter that, Kevin, where you have to be there and be accountable every single night. And it looks like Jokic is able to do that. The centerpiece of the team, the MVP, the most valuable player on the Sixers, absolutely is Joel Embiid. But what happens in the Denver Nuggets if you take away Nikola Jokic from that team? Where do they actually end up? The Sixers, to me, have a semblance of a very good basketball team and maybe can fight on without Embiid. But when we take a look at Denver, I'm not so sure they can do that without Jokic. The only reason why I believe Jokic is the better big man is because of durability. That's about it. If it's just about, hey, Joel Embiid's going to play 82 games, Jokic's going to play 82 games, the numbers will be insane for Joel Embiid. Just missing, and it just shows. I'm not a homer, Kevin, here. So I'm going to go not on this topic and give it to Jokic.
I'll then help the people of Philly out here. I think Joel Embiid, I think this is hot. I think he is the best big in the NBA. Undeniably, availability is an ability. It's an important one. Jokic became the first MVP to play every single game since Kobe Bryant. Like, that is certainly noteworthy. And right now you're comparing him to a guy in Embiid who certainly has his injury woes. But when he's out there, Donnie, I mean, man, he might have an argument for best player in the world. They have the best record in the NBA. Yeah. When Joel Embiid played this year, no other caveats applied. Not when Embiid played with Simmons, Embiid played with Harris. Just if Embiid was out there, they had the best record in the NBA. In the five full games he's played this postseason, he's averaging 33.4 points per game. He's just dominating the game in every facet. And I think where Embiid gets that slight edge is just the defensive side of the basketball. Ultimately, I know the creation is phenomenal for Jokic, and this isn't about tearing Nikola Jokic down. It's about propping up Joel Embiid. The reality is, LeBron is not going to be the consensus best player in the world going into next season. That is a crown he held coming into this season. I think it's certainly live that either one of these guys could end up with that title, depending on how this year plays out. I think Joel Embiid, though, would get the edge for me, but it's close. A couple of tremendous, tremendous players. Sticking with the NBA, Donnie, for some more hot or not here. And this is an interesting one because the LA Clippers blew a 13-point halftime lead. No Mike Conley. The Utah Jazz go out there and miss 21 shots in the opening quarter. So here's the question. The hot or not. Game one was a must win for the Los Angeles Clippers, hot or not.
I'm going to go not on this one. And the reason I'm doing that here is because I didn't anticipate the Clippers winning game one anyway. I thought coming off a seven-game series, the attrition would set in. You sort of take that deep breath. You headed to Utah, and we'll see what happens. They played well in the first half, enough to have a double-digit lead, which you saw that slip away in the second half. So maybe a little bit of a combination. Utah a little bit fresher. The Clippers coming off that seven-game series couldn't sustain an elevation and play well and took the loss. But when I look at this series overall, if I was a betting person, I say, well, hold off on the Clippers in game one. See what the price availability is going to be moving forward in the series after the Clippers lose. I'm looking right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook, a plus 176 on the Clippers. They got a taste of action. They know what to expect in the next game. They know they played well enough to win this basketball game because even though it was a nice lead at the half, you were still tied up entering into the fourth quarter in enemy territory. I still like where the Clippers stand. I think the Clippers are the more talented team, and that will show up in the series. Good on Clippers bettors if you didn't bet the first game. But then again, did you have the 4.5? Did you have the 4? Did you have the 3.5? Worst case scenario, maybe a push. But I like the Clippers moving forward. 176, Kevin, that's a live number here.
You know, it's really interesting because is this a question that you have to give the answer to pregame, right? Because if so, then I think you're right. I don't think it was a must win. But then I watched it all play out. And, of course, you have the Mike Conley absence. You have the 13-point halftime lead. You have Utah scoring 18 first-quarter points, having, Donnie, an 8.5-minute stretch in which they scored 2 points and they missed 21 consecutive shots. I think it's easy to see that the fatigue that people had thought about coming into the game there with a massive rest advantage for Utah and the Clippers battling a seven-game series, something Donovan Mitchell referenced on the sideline there, would make this an obvious, no, it's not a must-win for the Clippers. But then you watch the way it played out. I guess I'd have to lean towards not because that would have been my pregame answer, but it really does feel like they once slept right through their fingers there. Let's go over to another one here with college football. We mentioned this briefly in our 7-7 top headlines, an opportunity to open up on this a little bit more. And we're hearing that there's going to be a report next week by a committee to talk about expanding the college football playoff. So, Donnie, let's keep it simple. Hot or not, the college football playoff should expand.
Absolutely red hot, maybe the hottest topic we might ever have on the show here. It makes all too much sense here. But what about the bowl season, they say, Kevin? Nobody cares about the bowl season anymore. It's not 1965 and we want to win the Bonnet Bowl and have a celebration in our hometown and carry our victors around, you know, in a ticker tape parade. That's not the case anymore. It's all about money in college football. If you add 32 teams and make it a massive playoff, which other NCAA organizations do, Division II, Division III, you have much more people competing for a championship, which means much more TV dollars, another chance for a home game for Alabama to add to their gate. It only makes sense. And also the key topic in this whole instance here, take a look at the field of 64 in college basketball. You have, let's just say, the top 25 teams get the you know, at-large bids that head into it. Do you see any one of those players going, you know what, Kevin? I'm going to the NBA. I'm not worried about this anymore. Guys want to win championships. If you are a top 10 prospect for the Florida Gators and you're not in the playoffs and you're going to play East Carolina in the Independence Bowl, you're sitting that game out. But you know what? Flip it over and say, we're going to go into the college football playoff, game one in the Swamp. That top 10 player is out there trying to say, I want to win a national championship. I'm going to show you why I should be a top five player here. And as I excel through the playoffs, the hottest topic you can possibly have, it is a no-brainer, but some old school people, I liked it better when it was just two teams in the BCS. Add more teams, add more money, add more excitement. It only makes sense, Kevin. Absolutely hot. What do you think about this?
Sometimes someone puts it so perfectly, you leave it at that. But I feel just as passionate about Donnie that I have to pour it on. This is a no-brainer, and it's been a no-brainer the whole time. The sanctity of the game, people, have been lost at sea the whole time. But this makes games matter more. Wrong. Coastal Carolina played BYU, and everybody, this doesn't matter. It was merely an exhibition game for Zach Wilson so people could tear down whichever program actually lost the game. It didn't help anybody as it pertains to the college football playoff. The Pac-12 basically wasted their time even running a season because they never had a chance to get themselves in to the top four here. I mean, what are we even talking about? Like, Cincinnati was out there just playing meaningless football. But, more games mean more because Oklahoma's week one loss to... No! You actually tried to erase the Oklahoma loss that they had to TCU at home. Nonsense. It's been nonsense the entire time. The college football playoffs should expand. It looks like they will expand, and we are better off for that. I want to sneak in one more hot or not here, Donnie, based on the MVP results that we saw. Derrick Rose, hot or not, should have won MVP, Donnie? I mean, it's unbelievable.
Absolutely
this guy
not.
Got a first-place vote. This guy got a first-place vote, Donnie.
Take the fans out of it. Take the fans out.
Get
watch
the fans
the game,
out. Fans are
just
gone. Fans are gone. We'll be right back. Unbelievable.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line. Time to dive into last night's NBA action. Two great games from yesterday's board. We'll start off in the Eastern Conference. Game two between the Sixers and the Hawks. Game does stay under the number despite 118 points from the 76ers, but holding Atlanta to 102 does secure the under. A nice cover there for Sixers backers. A miserable beat in the first half after they had a 10-point lead with like a minute left. Unable to cover the, I believe, four and a half, depend probably when you got that number. But all in all, things very positive right now, Donnie, in Sixers world after that game two performance.
Absolutely. And I have to say, if you're looking from a Sixers perspective, it's 1-1. Is it the perfect scenario? No, because you would like to defend your home court, go 2-0, and then go down to Atlanta and say, hey, let's just get a split and head back to town and close out in game five. The interesting part about this game to me overall and why I like the Sixers is the health status, Kevin, of Joel Embiid. You saw him play a lot of minutes in game one, drop 39 points, and they lost. So my initial thought process was, well, is he going to be able to play this much on that slightly torn meniscus throughout the rest of the series? Did you sort of waste that performance in game one? where you needed to win that game, and then you might be able to say, well, Joey, we're going to play a 17 minutes in game two, and we still should be able to win, but we might give you a little bit more minutes in the fourth quarter if it's close. The single fact that Joel Embiid was that dominant and looks that healthy, that is an absolute boom, because if you ask Sixer fans like myself or even betting people into this series, you look at the 76ers and say, if the Sixers were up 2-0 with two slight victories, but Joel Embiid is playing like 11 minutes a night, you'd say, man, this is going to be a long series. Let's see what happens down in Atlanta. But the single fact that Joel Embiid looks like he is 100% healthy after we're even questioning if he was going to be able to play in the series, get surgery, and see you next year, it's good stuff for the Sixers. And particularly if you're backing them, take a look at the series prices now here on the Philadelphia 76ers. Minus 230 to win the series. A slight favorite now in game three on the FanDuel Sportsbook at -2. Things are looking up for the Sixers. They needed that win. They needed a little bit of adversity. Now they can move forward and see if they can exercise that dominance in the series and take a 2-1 series lead and maybe on their way to playing either A, the Milwaukee Bucks, or Brooklyn Nets.
I think the Sixers went out there and had such an interesting performance because they went up, 15 nearly immediately. And you're like, yep, they're good to go. And then all of the sudden, they kind of lost it a little bit, right? And all it's like, what is going on here? Why is this a 2-point game? And then boom, they shot right back, and all boom, we're up by 10. And then all of a sudden, mid third quarter, it's 80-79 Atlanta. And then they went on about a 25-5 run, and you saw that dominance once again. And I think for the Sixers, the kind of back and forth ebbs and flows, you'd love to be able to avoid them. But if I had to think which one of those is a little bit truer to form, I think it's the dominant factor here. This is now two games in this series where the entire starting five for the Sixers is a plus. In fact, the entire starting five in this game was a plus 10 or better. That's substantial. You know, minus 25 sitting next to Clint Capella's name. There were a couple of moments that he had, but Embiid is dominating that matchup, and he's going to continue to dominate that matchup. I think the fact that they obviously were going out there and doing whatever they could to hone in on Trae Young a little bit more and holding him to 21 points, 6 of 16 shooting, 1 of 7 from beyond the arc. I mean, Ben Simmons blocked one of his 34-footers, like just straight up blocked it. I mean, it was a phenomenal play there from Philly. Getting a boost from a guy like Shake Milton off of the bench was significant. I'm going to offer two sides of this, Donnie, the two extreme sides, if you will. You tell me which one you see more likely here. The Sixers winning this series in five games, the Atlanta Hawks winning this series outright.
I don't think Atlanta's going to win the series. I honestly don't. So I would take the opposite there and look for the Philadelphia 76ers to close this game out in five, close this thing out in five, because I do think they do have a chance to win both of those games in Atlanta. You're right, though. It's been an interesting series because if you take a synopsis of game one, unbelievable performance by the Atlanta Hawks in the first half, rightfully right through to the third quarter, shot the lights out. But the Sixers made a furious comeback. Let's also remember, in game one, they won the third quarter and the fourth quarter, the Philadelphia 76ers did. Now, take a look at game two here. You had an unbelievable bench performance by the Atlanta Hawks to try to buoy them and say, hey, you got to steal one of these games if our bench is going to play this well. The Sixers, once again, Kevin, won the third quarter and won the fourth quarter. So as much as we like to bag on Doc and get really upset, what are you doing out here with these lineups? It looks like some of his adjustments in the second half are paying dividends. So if you're just looking from a series perspective and say, if both of these teams play their average games moving forward, the Sixers are a markedly better team than the Atlanta Hawks, and rightfully so. They're the number one seed. The Atlanta Hawks are the fifth seed. So moving forward here, if we're getting just averages here and Joel Embiid is healthy, that's a good sign, Kevin, for the Sixers from me.
Yeah, I really, the only negative that I have for the Sixers is just continuing to be bothered by what they did in game one, because they should be up 2-0. They should be in command. I should not have to play unnecessary games against this Atlanta team and put an unnecessary tax on Joel Embiid through this game, through this series. But, them to win the series in five is plus 360. Mm-hmm. Now, look, ultimately, are you going to get Atlanta to be swept off their home floor? Fair enough. Betting it in six is plus 300. But I agree. I think the Sixers are in control. And you see it now, minus 230 favorites to win that series overall. Let's talk about the Jazz-Clippers game here. This is one that somebody with the position on the Clippers to win the title, I'm very frustrated by. Because it felt like they should have been able to grab this game. Kind of game two is a free roll, if you will. The fact that Mike Conley was absent, the fact that the Jazz couldn't find at the bottom of the net in the entire first quarter, it felt like the double-digit halftime lead. It's a very difficult result, I feel like, Donnie, for Clippers backers and the Clippers as a team to swallow.
No, it really is, because if you're just looking at numbers alone, Kevin, which sometimes you don't have the crystal ball, but we can always read into it after the game is done. I say, Kevin, take a look at the Clippers here in this game. Nice lead at the half, but let's look at the full game statistics. The Clippers outshot them 42%. The Clippers had a better percentage, 38%, and a better free throw percentage at 87.5%, and they end up losing this game. So you're right from the earlier segment that we did. If you just look at the game as an entire capsule here, I'm not upset that the Clippers lost because I didn't think they would win this game. But if you then take a look at the game midway through and you say, the Clippers have to have this game. You know, the Jazz aren't playing all that well. You just need to close this one out, steal one on their home court, see what happens in game two, and then head back to LA. The fact that they lost this game, when you go back and rewind it, it looks kind of devastating. But again, I don't want to put that all into one single game and say, boy, I didn't know if they would win this game. I didn't think they would win the game. So I'm going to stick with that early read on the series, where if you are betting the Clippers, it's a great time to jump in, because if you thought they were going to lose game one, you get the better price heading into game two. And it's not as if, Kevin, they had a 13-point lead in the first half and then got beat by 23 points overall for the game. They were in it right up to the end. The Clippers are a really good basketball team with superstars. That should count for something here moving forward.
You know, it's interesting. It's one of those games in which whomever wins gets this. So you mean to tell me that the Jazz won a game in which they didn't have Mike Conley, missed 21 shots in a row, 18 first quarter points? That is unbelievable. But then on the other side of it, I could have very, like, if all of a sudden one more miss from the Jazz, one more make from the Clippers, I would have been able to say, you mean to tell me that the Clippers won a game in which Paul George was 4 of 17, Kawhi Leonard was 9 of 19, Marcus Morris was 1 of 9 from 3. They were on one day's worth of rest after a 7-game series in Utah. Donovan Mitchell scored 45. This is kind of the thing with this game. It is a excellent, excellent victory for whomever came away with it. It is a gut-wrenching loss for the other side of the coin, but I don't think the series is settled after one game. I think the Clippers are incredibly live in game two. I don't necessarily believe that Mike Conley, a hamstring injury, is just back in the fold all of a sudden here by the second game either. I don't believe that to be the case. So I think the Clippers can feel plenty fine about themselves. The difficult thing, of course, Donnie, is you always want to be able to go up, you know, if you're kind of that road team, steal one of the first two, protect your home floor. Well, that now, they'd have to steal game two. They'd have to win three games in a row. That's a difficult thing to do. I do think, though, that this is looking like a series that will go long. The one other thing I wanted to bring up from this series, Donnie, though, is Ty Lue. Ty Lue has talked a lot about that Mavericks series, the adjustment battle against Rick Carlisle, which he was getting schooled in to start the series, then adjusted. Then Mitzi Arizo was getting schooled again with the Boban Marjanovic moves, and then he adjusted. Why Ty Lue can't from the beginning just make good decisions is a little bit puzzling to me. How he allowed Luke Kennard to basically play an entire fourth quarter and have Donovan Mitchell run the offense through attacking him, it's, while Nick Batum sits there on the bench, is just something I can't wrap my head around, Donnie.
Yeah, and it had to be maybe he's worried about, you know, not a lot left in the gas tank for primarily a lot of the starters here, because that's the only thing you can think. And getting back to your point here, the reason why the Jazz are the top seed, they're a better, higher seeded than the Clippers, they're a better overall basketball team. And also keep in mind, 31-5 at home. That's a tough loss there for the Clippers. But you are right. The sign of a good basketball team is, okay, let's see what happened in game one. Where can the adjustments be made towards game two to be better? Because you're right. You can't make it a habit, Kevin, of going down 0-2 in series and continue to say, hey, you know what? Been there before. We should be able to win this series. It's very hard to do, and extremely harder as you move forward and the teams, Kevin, get better.
I'll be very interested to see if they post a series price for a game spread. If the Clippers at a nice, you know, maybe plus 130, 40 range, plus a game and a half, all they need to do, protect home court, could steal game two. That would be an interesting number if that did come around on the FanDuel Sportsbook. All right, let's take a break. We'll come on back here on the early line and break down some of the action that we saw yesterday during the Major League Baseball card.
Relax.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back here on the early line, time to break down some of the action that we saw for Major League Baseball. Also set you up for today's board as well. I want to start with the games that we saw from the NL Central yesterday, because the Central is a division that we've talked quite a bit about here now on the early line. Everybody's plus money. There's not necessarily a clear runaway favorite at this point in the season, which makes all the sense in the world. The Brewers hold a half game lead over the Cubbies. They're 3.5 up on the Cardinals, and then the Reds are there at 5 back. The Pirates are also a team that reportedly plays Major League Baseball, but the rules, Cabrian Hayes, it might escape them a little bit. I want to start with that Brewers victory, but really all of these games having a lot of impact there. The Cubs beating the Padres late night, which with a strong offensive performance. You had the Cardinals going out there losing their 6th straight game in ugly fashion at home, 10-1 to the Indians, Donnie. I'll kind of just lob it up there. You see those three results there that involve the main NL Central teams that we're talking about. Does any one thing jump off the page?
It's the Cardinals to me, Kevin. Is it the fact that we saw Flaherty go down and it just send, you know, shockwaves through that organization? Because it looks like now they had an update, or slight update, I should say, about Flaherty, where he's going to be out probably at least to the All-Star break, which is never a good sign. Because when you're dealing with a pitcher, Kevin, it's not just like, hey, just when you're ready, come back. You have to ramp up to come back. And if you shut a pitcher down for that long, he basically has to have an extended spring training just to work his way back in. And could the Cardinals be out of it by then, by the time he comes back in late July? And will he be effective? So it's almost interesting to see them go down in that fashion and get bombed last night by Shane Bieber on the mound, which, hey, you're going to give up that many runs to the Indians. Something certainly is wrong with your pitching staff. But getting back to the other teams in the NL Central, that was a huge win for the Cubs out on the West Coast. Because yesterday, I thought they had one of the worst pitching matchups coming in, and an unbelievable performance from a pitching perspective, only allowing one run. And I believe, reading the box score here, it happened in the 9th inning. So a dominant performance by the Cubs, and that unheralded team that we continue to talk about, the Milwaukee Brewers, getting it done with not household names. This team is going to be a force to be reckoned with, and if they have enough prospects to flip, add another big bat and maybe another starting pitcher down the line, watch out for the Brewers, because just because you can't pick out anybody in the lineup outside of maybe Christian Yelich doesn't mean they're a really bad organization. This is a good team moving forward. Watch out for them throughout the summer, Kevin.
Yeah, I think the Cardinals one, though, as you mentioned, does jump out a lot. Carlos Martinez is becoming a pitcher that if you see that name, circle it, it down, figure something out. Pitching to an ERA above 10 in his last 5 starts, gave up 5 earned and only 4 innings of work there against the Cleveland lineup that is certainly not known for mashing pitching by any stretch of the imagination. You know, they had plated 5 runs just through the 3 innings alone. So one of those guys that you want to really be keeping your targets on. The Brewers give him credit. The Cubs are right there competing. It feels like, again, a division that will remain open. You just want to try and avoid your streaks. But I will continue to bring up the Cubs. Like, the only team that has a positive run differential at plus 31. The only one in the division. There's a lot of talent on that roster. But, again, the looming trade rumors and who could be moving, are they buyers, are they sellers, all of that is very, very interesting to me. All of those teams will be in action today. Darvish, though, going against that Cubs team, Donnie, at a minus 230 number there. Like, I tell you, minus 230 feels like a number can you justify that against the Cubs team? Is Jake Arrieta that much of a mismatch against the Yu Darvish?
I mean, he really, when you take a look at it, Yu Darvish hasn't been, you know, Cy Young Yu Darvish this year, but he's still markedly better than Jake Arrieta is. We just take a look at some of the statistics that I like to look at. An xFIP minus number of 126. And you say, well, Donnie, what's 126 mean? 100 is the average here. So pitching 26% worse than the major league average, a 5.26 ERA, an xFIP of 5.10, and a Sierra number of close to 5. That's disaster territory. But as I say this, Kevin, last night, Davies on the mound, he was in that Arrieta range, if not worse, and the Padres weren't able to do anything as he threw 6 scoreless innings. So you're right, a Major League Baseball team, and quite frankly, a close to first place Major League Baseball team in the Chicago Cubs out here, getting a 190 at the FanDuel Sportsbook right now. That is eye-opening, because Darvish needs to pitch really well. That is a good lineup day-to-day that the Chicago Cubs are rolling out. Now, it's always interesting on the early line, we talk about these games before they take place. It's an afternoon game out there on the West Coast, so maybe guys are rested. Maybe Rizzo's going to take a day off. Maybe Chris Bryant will take a day off. That might have a lot to do with the numbers. So as always, check those lineups about 2 hours before the game starts. If you get a full go lineup, one might say the Cubs could be live as a dog today, Kevin.
That'll be a good one for us to follow, no doubt. Let's go to the Yankees, who are noteworthy for a couple of reasons. Yesterday's game, today's game, Gerrit Cole, we'll get there in a minute. Yesterday, the Yankees, though, winning a game 8-4, 14 hits, 5 guys in the lineup with multi-hit games. You know, it's funny, but you look at the way they were, a walk, a pass ball, sack fly, grounded into fielder's choice, grounded into fielder's choice, like, it wasn't a excellent performance, but 14 hits and 8 runs scored for this Yankees team. Donnie, I felt like I wanted to pass out watching this team actually go out there and put forward a performance like that.
Hitting weather in the Minnesota for the the metropolitan area up there for the Twins, and you're going to get it again today, Kevin. Still anticipated to be in the 90s today. You have your hammer on the mound. If we just take a look as the statistics, excuse me, I'm having trouble with statistics as a word this morning. A 58 xFIP minus for Gerrit Cole, which is absolutely off the charts. Take a look at a Sierra number at 2.36. But here's the question I have for you, Kevin. In the mysterious press conference, which we see the writing on the wall for Major League Baseball, and they're saying, we're not putting up with spin rate out of control because you have substances here. A question was asked point blank to Gerrit Cole. Are you using substances? What's taking place? And a ridiculous answer by him, which leads me to believe, are we now going to watch these starts from Gerrit Cole? Or are we going to get this unbelievable performance that we've seen over the first half stunted because he can't doctor the baseball a little bit, Kevin? That's one to watch this afternoon, because a better pitching matchup in the favor for the Yankees, absolutely. But what happens to a pitcher's mindset, Kevin, when he can't use a substance that, hey, everybody's using it, I'm using it, I'm pitching well, now I can't use it. Let's see how that creeps in today in Minnesota.
It's noteworthy here. Just because I'm a Yankees fan doesn't mean that I can just ignore what was a ridiculous press conference from Gerrit Cole. Like, PR staff for the Yanks, hey, either, you know, go, hey, look, I don't want to get into that, lie, tell the truth, don't just not know how to, what me, what was that? That was, I mean,
it's a yes or no, isn't it? Well as, isn't it just yes or no? I mean, yeah, like, hey, do you use doctored up baseballs? No, I don't do that. Next question.
It almost, though, is as if he was in a way going, tough question, because right now it's legal. It might, though, not be the next time you ask me. Yeah. So, tough to say. I'm kind of not cheating, but in a week or so, I might technically be cheating. It's very odd. The one thing now with Gerrit Cole is he's given up 5 earned runs in 2 of his last 4 starts. He is a minus 140 favorite to win the American League Cy Young. Compare that to his counterpart in Jacob DeGrom in terms of favor to win their Cy Young. DeGrom is a minus 165. Not a massive difference. Jacob DeGrom's given up 4 earned runs this season. Again, he's given up 5 earned runs in two of his last four starts. Like, now I know he's had, you know, more innings pitched than DeGrom, who missed a little bit of time. And listen, DeGrom's not going to go out there and get banged around for 5+ and 50% of his next four starts. That's just not going to happen here. Potentially, rules changes. Like, I'll be the one to say it as the Yankees fan, Donnie. Is Gerrit Cole's front-runner status on the Cy Young board a little bit vulnerable right now, knowing that baseball's rules are about to change?
But if everybody is doing it, all the cool kids are doing it, Kevin, does that mean that everybody's going to get an equal disadvantage now moving forward? Because we haven't seen a Jacob DeGrom press conference. He's doing something we've never seen in the history of baseball so far. So maybe his baseballs are a little bit doctored at this point. It's going to be something to note moving forward because it is a drastic change. It's not as if, Kevin, it's like, hey, you know, New York Yankees, you usually wear the navy caps. You can't wear them. You got to wear white baseball caps. Oh, I don't know how good I'm going to pitch tonight with that white baseball cap. This is something that these pitchers are used to, and the evolution of the game changing over the past couple of years where this unwritten rule, written rule, if your team can use it, we'll use it, but if we're not using it, you better not use it. Major League Baseball finally stepping in and saying, hey, we're going to get some uniform things here where you just can't doctor these baseballs. If we're not scoring runs here and the pitcher's having a major advantage, let's check into it. So if everybody is doing it, now everybody is not doing it, maybe the pitching evens out, but still, if you're a quality pitcher, you should still be a quality pitcher without the doctored baseball.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, look, and Gerrit Cole, I think, is a rightful favorite when you consider current performance plus, you know, projecting things out, you know, war for American League pitchers. He checks in at third. He's got the best FIP, you know, so he's it's what you want from Gerrit Cole right now, second in, or third in strikeouts. Like, it's all there, but it's a good point. Like, and that's the interesting thing. Gerrit Cole now has somehow stumbled into maybe being the poster boy for sticky substances, which is not great at all. Certainly not. They're, by the way, minus 188 favorites today in Minnesota, a total of 8.5. Twins and their home ballpark, Donnie's, continue to be a cash cow for overbettors here, which is interesting because Gerrit Cole should bounce back, but maybe the Yankees keep hitting Dobnak on the mound. Feels like a game the Yanks should win and maybe win by multiple runs.
Oh, it certainly feels that way. But when you look at the lineups and how they profile, Dobnak's been decent here as you take a look going up against right-handed batters, struggles a little bit against lefties. But then when you look at the lineup for the Yankees, it's not a real lefty-driven lineup. It would not surprise me, Kevin, if the Yankees get off to a slower start in this game, saying, hey, we got our ace on the mound. We can hit the gas maybe in the later innings. But the one thing you do have booing you tonight up in Minnesota, you got some pretty good hitting weather. That ball should carry up here. And if you're just looking at pitching matchup, Cole versus Dobnak, most people would say, Kevin, where do I sign up for the Yankees tonight?
Yeah, laying a run and a half, I could see people getting involved in that. I want to bring up the other New York team tonight, the Mets. Very interesting odds boost yesterday on the FanDuel Sportsbook, where them to lead after three innings was paying a tremendous price. They scored two in the first and proceeded to be not only losing after three, they got dominated in that game by Baltimore. Matt Harvey now takes the hill. The Mets have already seen Harvey once this year, Donnie. 7 earned runs, 8 hits, and only 4 1/3 innings pitched there. It feels like the Mets team total maybe is something that people should be circling.
It's one of those where you look at the Mets lineup and you say to yourself, Kevin, it doesn't really add up all that much, but then you have to take a look at the pitcher that's on the mound. Matt Harvey in Baltimore, hot, muggy night, full 9 at-bats for the Mets. I think you're on to something here, Kevin. Fade Kevin Harvey, fade the Dark Knight. It's been pretty good over the past year and a half.
It certainly has. All right, let's take this break. We'll come on back. A very, very interesting hero of the night on the other side.
Sports Gaming Insight.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're back right here on the early line, and we are set to give out a hero of the night like we've never really given out before. Let's hit the music. Let's give out our hero of the night. We are going to the Sixers-Hawks game to find our hero. We are going to be giving it to Nathan Knight. Now, what could Nathan Knight have possibly done to secure himself Hero of the Night honors? Because the Hawks lost by 16. He didn't have a late basket for a backdoor cover here. I don't even know if they would have covered any of the live numbers. What about perhaps the total? No, this game wasn't under pretty much no matter when you were shopping. He didn't help you out there. He had 2 points in 2 minutes of work, a rebound, but then you see it. 0-for-2 from the line. And at the tremendous arena that is the Wells Fargo Center, when an opposing player goes 0-for-2 from the line, they end up winning a free small Frosty for all to enjoy. So, Nathan Knight, we appreciate you, because that, for the Philadelphia people and the other participating Wendy's in the tri-state area, just walked away, Donnie, with a free Frosty thanks to his trip to the line that saw no made free throws.
I've been in the arena during these equations, and sometimes it catches you off guard when the crowd is coming to a crescendo in the second half, and you figure out, like, why are they cheering so loud just for a guy to miss a free throw? Never before has a 79-cent item been so much importance in the Delaware Valley. It's a celebration. It's a rite of passage. It's, I earned that. So he missed it because I cheered. I earned that softy. And when you cap it off with a Sixers victory, it's amazing. They have all the stuff waving around the crowd, the Wendy's head and the fries and the Frosties. Amazing stuff. Congratulations, Sixers fans. Yes. You earned that Frosty.
Awesome stuff. Hour number two around the corner.
The only place to turn for expert sports gaming strategies and information.
But we just call it
The Edge. This.